What's up? It's Delaney, and I'd love to invite you to become an honorary co-host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Do you want to pick episode topics and guests? Done. Want to surprise your loved ones with shout-outs on the show for a birthday, project launch, a much-needed divorce? Whatever you're up to, would love to be a part of the celebration. Get your favorite and least favorite quotes featured on the podcast, submit questions for our special guests, and find lots more new features and surprises at patreon.com/selfhelpless. You'll also get added to our Patreon Insider email list to easily redeem rewards via a quick email reply. Because we know hanging out on Patreon isn't everyone's thing. You can also opt out of emails if you prefer to be a silent supporter of the show. And don't worry, we do not Scrooge McDuck these contributions. 100% of proceeds go directly to operating expenses that make this weekly podcast possible and available to all. Learn more at patreon.com/selfhelpless or simply click the link in this episode's description. Thank you for helping me fill the void of being the last standing host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Thank you so much.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Self-Helpless. I'm Kelsey Cook.
I'm Delaney Fisher.
And man, you guys, I'm so excited for today's episode. This is one that we've wanted to do for a while. We have on my celebrity lookalike, the amazing Jesse Rogers. You might know my joke where I talk about my friend Jay having seen, I think I changed Jay's name in the joke. But it's my friend Jay who said that my celebrity lookalike is this porn star named Jesse Rogers. And when I Googled her, you know, it was her doing some pretty hardcore anal. And the joke is that I got a little weirded out knowing that my friend Jay saw that and was like, you know who this reminds me of? You know, old gaping butthole Kel Saroo. So once that video went online, then it made its way to Jesse, and then we have now connected on Instagram and just thought it would make for a very fascinating podcast episode to talk about her life. And she was great. So without further ado, here is our interview with Jesse Rogers. Jesse Rogers, yay!
Oh my gosh.
Hi. Hello. So excited to Jesse. Be here.
So full disclosure, full disclosure for people who are watching on YouTube, we just started the Zoom, and as soon as I saw what Jesse was wearing, I was like, hold on, I have that exact same outfit, and I went and put it on because, I mean, if we're going to be twins, we might as well be full
right.
Twins. Really lean into it. But now that your hair, because is your hair naturally brunette?
No, I was actually blonde growing up, and it just gradually started getting darker as I got older. Okay. And at first I got some highlights and stuff, and then I was like, you know what, I'm just gonna let it go natural.
Yeah.
So it was damaging it too much.
It can be a lot, I know.
Yeah.
Yeah, because when I first heard about you, your hair was pretty much the same color as my
right.
hair.
Yeah.
And so you and I used to look like even more so I'll give a little bit of a backstory. I'm sure I'll talk about this in the intro too, but
yeah.
The reason I had heard about you was because one of my friends, Jay, told yeah. me that my celebrity lookalike was this porn star named Jesse Rogers.
Yeah.
When I Googled you know, as if I'm sure when you Google image any porn star, most of the first images that pop up are like, you know, sex.
Right.
So one of the first ones that popped up, I think, was you doing anal. And my friend who had texted me that, like, he and I have always had a platonic relationship.
Right.
And so I was laughing to myself, like, what, like, you saw those photos.
Right.
And was like, gape and butthole Kelsaru. Like, that's my girl. That's and so, and I didn't know that you had seen any of my jokes about that. And then I think somebody screenshotted you posting one of my clips in your stories being like, who is this girl? I've seen her like joking about this before.
Yeah.
And you and I connected.
Yeah. Yeah. I asked one of my, or yeah, I posted in my stories. I think I was like, someone needs to introduce us or something.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, that's how we connected.
So how did you first find, like, did you just stumble on one of the videos on Instagram, or were people tagging you? Like, how did that happen?
My husband on occasion will Google my stage name, and he found it and showed it to me, and we were both cracking up.
Of course. That's
awesome.
And then
I was like, oh, I need to meet her.
I know. It's so funny to... I feel this like weird bond with you. And yet this is the first time we've ever talked,
right.
But man, I have so, I'm sure Delaney, you do too. So many questions for you. I also, this was, I don't know, maybe a year or two ago, I had kind of looked into your life more and read a really interesting interview that you did about getting out of porn and that whole experience. And so, yeah, we'd love to talk to you more about that and all that. So, what, how old were you when you started into porn?
I was 18. So I did my first real shoot pretty much the day after I turned 18.
Wow.
But I actually sat down and talked with an agent when I was 17. So,
okay. Wow. Okay. So you were young.
Yeah. Yeah. I was very young.
Okay.
And I retired at 19.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Oh my gosh. Quite a career.
Right.
Just like got in, got out.
Yeah.
Kept it moving.
I did not know that. What led to that decision? What led you to saying, yes, I'm going to try this out?
So I had experience with modeling. I got my first modeling contract in New York when I was 11 years old. And I had like basically looked the same from 11 to 17. Like I grew really fast. So I had experience doing that. And then I always kind of had an interest in doing some nude modeling, like Playboy or Penthouse or whatever. But she sat down with me. Well, the initial emails, she didn't say it was porn, but when she sat down with me, she did say like, oh, basically it's porn. And then she handed me a sheet where it said like GG, BG, BGGG, whatever. I was like, I don't know what this is, but sure, I'll do it all.
Very open-minded. So you did it for like a year?
Yeah, I did it for about a year. I did a lot in a year, actually. I jumped around with agents, and the second agent that I had, the first agent that I had, sorry, I signed the contract with her when I was 17. So the contract wasn't really a contract. And then the second agent that I had, he couldn't keep up with my bookings. Like he would double, sometimes triple book me in a day. Geez. And we would, you know, have to try to move things around.
And porn, I would imagine porn's not one of those things where like you would want a heavy schedule in a day. It's like,
oh yeah, no. There was one time where I had like, I wasn't aware of the guy. And I was really sore the next day, and I had another big guy, and I was like, how am I going to handle this? So I just, I put vodka in a water bottle and I went to set that way, and it was actually a live stream. So I ended up getting wasted in a live stream. And they were pretty upset with me because I was all sloppy and stuff, but I was like, it's my agent's fault. I'm already sore. I don't want to be here.
Yeah. Also, like, you try to take this dick. Like, right. What else am I supposed to do right now?
That's a lot of work. Yeah.
I tried getting another agent that I thought was more professional because he had like bigger named girls and stuff like that. But he ended up just being like a complete asshole. And he was actually like on several news outlets, like outed. His name is Derek Hay for like pimping and stuff like that.
Oh my God.
Jesus.
I never did that with him, but he did try to manipulate me in other ways. And so, you know, my dumbass had signed a 5-year contract with him. And so in my head, I was like, well, there's no way for me to keep doing porn without him. And I don't want to keep making him money. Right. So, and, you know, some other stuff happened, but that was like the foundation that started for me to want to get out.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you feel during your time doing porn that you had some positive experiences? I mean, I would assume if you did it for a year that there were times where you were like,
right,
this is, I'm enjoying this career path. I'm going to keep doing this for a while. Like, what were some experiences that you enjoyed?
Yeah, there were definitely positive experiences. I think that if I had gone in with my eyes open and gone independent and not gotten so many people involved in my career, then I think it would have been mostly positive and I would probably still be doing it in some way. I mean, well, I kind of am like through OnlyFans, but right. It's more like I'm my own producer, own director and stuff like that. But I'm saying like occasionally working for other companies.
Yeah. Your body paint stuff is really cool.
Thank you.
Yeah. It's really, really awesome.
Yeah. There were, I think actually like the companies that seem to be the roughest are actually the ones that treated me the best. Like, yeah, a lot of, I don't know if I can say the company's name or on here.
Yeah, you don't have to.
Okay.
Whatever you want to do.
Yeah, up to you.
Like kink.com, they're like very heavy BDSM type of stuff. And I always had positive experience working for them.
So if you hadn't signed that contract with that one person that was like a 5-year thing, you may be still doing it in a more mainstream way instead of an independent way, perhaps?
I think so. Well, not in the way that I did it. You know, I did shot so many scenes within that year. I think I would maybe like occasionally, maybe a few times a year, just shoot a couple of scenes for a company, maybe like just a solo or girl, because you know, I'm married now, but
yeah. Yes. Oh my gosh, and that's a whole other series of questions I want to ask about like your husband and all of that. So you must have had a very successful year that you did porn, because I do feel like you are pretty well known, you know, especially for like only having done it a year and however many years ago that was. So I asked what some of the positive experiences were. What were some of the negative ones, if you feel comfortable talking about it?
On set, I had a girl that I had been planning this shoot with for a while, and she was a little bit newer than me, but she was getting popular pretty quickly. And we planned to do a girl-girl shoot together. And I was like, I'm so excited, whatever. We were both excited. And she was very hardcore. And so she brought like these huge toys to set. And I was like, okay, well, she must know how to use it if they're her toys, right?
Right.
And then I was like, okay, yeah, whatever, you know. She literally the first position that we get into, I'm in doggy, and she rams her like huge rippled glass toy inside my butt. And I'm like trying to pull away, but she's just like pounding, going. And then I'm like, okay, I can't stop. And then I sit down on the bed, and I think the sheets were white or beige, some light color, but like I scoot over and I'm like, I see blood all over the sheets. And I'm like, oh fuck. She just fucked my bookings for the next month.
Oh my God. What did you do? Did you have to go to the doctor? Like, is it just one of those things that like you just had to give it time and it healed on its own?
Yeah. I soak in Epsom salt all the time. So that's mm-hmm. my cure for everything. So I just,
yeah.
I stayed home and soaked in Epsom salt for about a month. Yeah.
Oh my God. I'm so sorry.
I get, but it's crazy to think that, I mean, I've never been in the adult entertainment industry, but right. I feel like that's pretty common sense not to do that to somebody, right? Like that doesn't,
yeah,
I don't understand right. where that person's thinking was. Did she apologize? Did she just not know what she was doing? Did she do it on purpose? Like, what do you think happened?
She did apologize. She was kind of embarrassed. But I was actually dating someone in the industry at the time, another male performer. And I went home and told him about it. And he was like, I think she wanted to do that to you because, I mean, I don't know, jealousy or something. It didn't make any sense to me because, usually people are categorized into something like blonde or, you know, girl next door. And she didn't fit any of the categories that I fit into other than being a little bit more freaky. Like she was heavily tattooed, like dark, super jet black hair. Mm-hmm. So I was like, we're not even competition. Like what right. does she have to be jealous about?
Man, well, because like you said it, you were like, well, now I have to cancel all these bookings and that's your
right.
income. Yeah. That's such a scary part of it that you have to give so much trust to this person that could mm-hmm. potentially, like she hurt you, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like it's
– Yeah.
So you've contributed to so much change in mm-hmm. the industry. Can you share a bit about that experience and what came out of it? What were you able to change?
Nothing. I don't think anything came out of it, really. I worked with AHF for a few months. And what was the other guy, the politician? I can't even remember his name. He had me come to Sacramento a couple of times and testify. But the bill didn't get passed. So, yeah, I mean, it's fine. I think it worked out for the best because the industry changed as well. A lot more people are independent and able to call the shots with how much they work or who they work with and stuff like that. So...
Yeah,
right.
I feel like it definitely spread awareness at the very
right.
end that you're
yeah.
going after something like that. So if you could snap your fingers and everything could be put in place that you think would benefit the industry and you know adult entertainers, what would that look like? What kind of policies would they have or regulations?
I think the most important thing And I see this happening with OnlyFans too, is like, stop painting this unrealistic picture of the industry where you only talk about like how much money you can make and all of the pros. Like when I try to talk about it, I try to give people a realistic perspective. Like there's pros and cons to everything in life, including this industry. And what happens a lot of the times when they want to make money off of younger girls is they'll only paint up this certain picture, like, oh yeah, you can make $20,000 to $30,000 a month, and like your family isn't gonna find out, and like all of this bullshit. That's what that first agent did to me. And I see some OnlyFans creators try to do that, like on certain platforms like TikTok and stuff like that, just to get referral codes, like just to make a percentage off of a referral code. Yeah, I don't do that. I think it's best that people know what they're getting themselves into before they do it. I saw this 18-year-old girl crying on TikTok, and she was like, oh, someone just blackmailed me about my OnlyFans, and they're gonna tell my family. And she's like, I'm so sick of seeing all of these creators say that your family isn't going to find out, and like paint this picture without sharing all of these potential consequences. And so I think that would be a good start. Like, yeah. Stop trying to hoover these young girls who don't even have their frontal lobe fully developed and aren't fully experienced in being an adult and weighing out all of these potential consequences, and be more open about both the pros and the cons, I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Yeah. Did you feel like when you got into porn at 18, that you knew for sure you were going to be comfortable forever with those videos being on the internet? Like, do you still feel comfortable? I mean, I guess now you do OnlyFans and stuff.
Right.
Do you still feel pretty comfortable, like, even at 18, that you knew what you were doing?
I mean, as far as the nude stuff, I did want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
The more hardcore stuff, I don't know, I wasn't fully aware. And
yeah,
the woman that talked to me, she was like, oh no, you'll have a stage name, like people aren't gonna find out. And I'm like, now that I think about it, I'm like, she really said that when, like, I was on these mainstream platforms like Bang Bros and stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
People aren't gonna find out.
Like, well, what? Yeah, you're not in like some full Halloween costume with like a, you know, Jason the Killer mask over your head. Like, it's
right.
You. It's your
right.
Fate, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. You talked about, you know, you're married now. How does your husband feel about those, like the OnlyFans stuff or the past porn? Was that an interesting conversation to have with him? Like, did he already know that when he met you, or did he find out once you guys started dating?
I walked around in life just assuming everyone knew. And I assumed that he knew, but I guess he didn't. So I did have to sit down and have that conversation with him.
And how far into dating did you guys have that conversation?
I think he was like on date 3.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what was his reaction to it?
He said he had like, he had an inkling that I did something like that.
Really? What were you doing on date number 1 and 2?
Yeah, I was like, she's really good in bed. Like professional.
Best ever, right? I mean, since you've left, I'm sure there's been a point in your life with interactions that people have found out, you know, about your former career. Do they treat you a certain way once they find that out? Or do people really not find that out now?
I had several like normal jobs. I think one of my other supervisors knew because we were standing at this convention. I was selling outdoor renovations to people. Super random job, I know. But
what a 180.
Some guy came up to me and my coworker, and he said something like, oh, there were 2 different people that were here yesterday. And my coworker said, oh yeah, we swapped out teams. And then the guy said, oh, you got the all-star team here today. And then my coworker just turned around and started like busting out laughing. And so I was like, I think he knows.
That has to be a strange feeling for somebody for you to like suspect that somebody knows, but not know for sure. And then like not converse about it. I mean, I feel like a little weird even as a comic where you don't know. I just had an experience where I've been visiting a family member who's ill right now. And I've seen this particular nurse several times in the past few weeks.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until a couple of days ago that she was like, by the way, like I really love your comedy. And you're like, oh, like it's so weird when you don't, like you haven't known that entire time you've been talking to them that they know who you are, but they've known who you are.
Right.
You know, it's always like, Yeah. So now with the OnlyFans stuff, how does that differ for you than your past? I mean, I'm sure you feel more in control now and like you get to produce your own content. And is that, are you really enjoying it? Do you feel like passionate about it? Is it a fun, exciting thing to do?
Yeah. Pretty much everything that you just said, I feel completely more in control. I get to set my own hours. I get to choose what I'm going to create. And if I don't feel good that day, then, you know, I just don't shoot anything. I don't have an agent in my ear, like saying, trying to manipulate me, saying, you know,
right,
oh, your payments last month were really low, you have to go, blah, blah, blah. Like,
yeah, maybe go do something that you don't really want to do.
Right.
Yeah. You have so much power now, which must be really nice.
Yeah.
Are there any like misconceptions about sex workers, adult film stars, you know, just the industry in general that you wish the general public knew?
I think people think that most sex workers, or maybe even all sex workers, are like these crazy drug addict or like having fucking swinger orgy parties. And most of us are just like fucking quirky homebodies that we like to express our sexuality, but we're like a little bit more introverted in other ways too. So, yeah.
That's such an interesting perspective. We just did an episode on extroverts versus introverts.
Right.
And yeah, I guess I would assume that most porn stars are extroverts because it's such a vulnerable public thing to do. And so that's fascinating to know that do you feel like you're an introvert?
I would call myself more of an ambivert, which is like you have a mixture of both. Yeah. Right.
We just were talking, I think Delaney and I both feel that we're ambiverts too.
Right.
I feel like it's probably a pretty small part of the population that is truly like a full introvert or a full extrovert.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, it's interesting. You know, people even have misconceptions about comedians thinking they must be so extroverted. They must be like the life of the party and the bit, you know, and it's like, then they meet one and it's like, they're in the corner by themselves, like not wanting to talk to people. So it's so interesting to hear that.
Right.
What are your interests or hobbies, like kind of outside of your work? What do you like to do like in your day to day?
I love going out in nature. We've been going out on trail walks and hikes. Nice. at least twice a week. Yeah, since the pandemic started. So that's a huge part of the routine now.
Yeah, it's become a big part of a lot of people's routine.
Yeah.
This is more for me in our years of my twinning. You have one of the best asses I've ever seen in my entire life. How can you help me and our listeners have, like, are there exercises you do? Or is that just like a gift?
I think it's a mixture of both. Yeah.
Okay.
A mixture.
Reverse nurture. You get a little bit of both. Yeah. Well, there are particular like squats you do or something, like the people want to know. We want to know how to even try to get.
Well, yeah, the hiking, I go hiking, and then I've been doing a lot of body weight stuff, squats. I also do like these leg ups when like you're laying down and you.
Or, like the old school like exercise videos with like the sweatbands and stuff like that. Exercise type of stuff. Yeah.
When the gym was open, I also, I don't know if you're familiar with the Smith machine.
No.
It's like the squat rack, but it's like connected to the machine. So I would bring it down and then get into like a doggy position and raise my leg like back and put weights on it. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Like a weighted leg out.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
making mental notes.
Here's the trick, everybody.
I got a trip to Hawaii coming up. I'm like
lunges too. Increase your calorie intake maybe like add all the peanut butter you can in your smoothies and all of that. Yeah.
Don't have to tell me
twice. Thank
you. Tell me to eat cookies. This is a slippery slope.
Put that on loop. Yes, that's great. We all need to hear that.
That's my favorite advice I've ever been given ever is up your calories. I'm like, oh my God. Done and done. Happy
to hear it enough. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, because there was a time period where I did lose weight and my butt was relatively smaller. So
yeah,
I have a question. So, you know, is there any like harmful terminology out there that people kind of tend to use when they're talking about sex workers or the entertainment industry or adult entertainment industry? Can you kind of speak to that a little bit? What kind of things should people stop saying, or how do you feel about that?
I personally don't get offended with certain names. I think I get more offended in the way that people talk about sex work, like that it's not a real job. It can only be a side hustle, or, you know, just things that would invalidate it as work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When someone, I feel
made a comment on my YouTube channel saying something like, oh, don't make sex work work or something like that. And I was like, but you just said it was work.
That's so crazy to me that people even think that that's not work or a full-time job or can be a full-time job. I didn't even know that was something that people were saying in, you know, in that space.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
So this is kind of touching on what I was saying before about talking about that she can't wait for like this fan gangbang and stuff like that. I mean, is there an element of kind of theater to the adult entertainment industry where, because I'm sure that so many dudes' dreams is like hearing one of their favorite porn stars be like, sign up here to be able to fuck me. Like, do porn stars, do they actually want to do that? Or is that kind of part of growing their fan base? Does that make sense when I'm asking, like, what the difference is between actually enjoying having sex in the videos or doing things that are kind of just for show?
I mean, as far as performers go, I think it's subjective. We all like different things. But I've learned recently that a lot of companies, they'll film certain things as like, with keeping in mind, like what's going to go viral on Pornhub, because there's so much content on Pornhub already. It's like, what are people going to look at and get shocked or laugh at or like, you know, share with their friends. And so, as far as that goes, sometimes they'll create content for that. Cause I was talking about with that, with another girl, she also stopped working for companies and pretty much doing mostly OnlyFans. And she was telling me that she was getting booked like way too many incest scenarios and it was weirding her out. Like, she's in the MILF category, and so she would have to be like the predator, like the mom or stepmom or whatever, and it was just really weirding her out, so she stopped. And when she started doing OnlyFans more, she realized like her fans didn't even ask for that, and so she was like, it's not because the fans want it, it's because they want that shock value.
Oh, so it's more the platform that wants it than the actual fans. That's interesting.
Yeah. I've talked before about learning through, I used to tour with Jim Norton, who's a great comedian, and on his radio show, we talked about learning about snot porn and things that are like, I would have no idea would be somebody's kink. Did you ever end up having to do something like that where you were like, this is totally like not something that I would be into, but I'm doing this because I know that it's what some other people are into?
I did have a shoot that things got a little bit weird, and it was actually a solo shoot. So I was just like technically working with myself, but the guy had me just put really weird things up there. So, like a broom and food and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, whatever. I had flown all the way to the East Coast just to do that. So I was like, okay, I gotta get it done. And it was an all day thing. And by the end of it, I'm trying to remember what order it went. Okay, so the second to last clip that I did for him, he was trying to get me to use a speculum. And I was like, I can't do it. I have a phobia. I don't even go, like, I hate gynecologists. And I started crying. And he was just like, he panned from my face and just stayed on my vagina because I was crying. And he's like, you're doing great. You're almost done. I was like, okay.
Oh my God.
And then I had one more set to finish. And I was like, I don't know how I'm going to do this. I really don't. Like, my vagina was swollen at that point already. Oh. And that was the day that I discovered that my asshole was a lot more forgiving than my vagina.
Oh my God. Put that on a t-shirt.
Did you ever feel like, you know, the crew or the person filming ever took advantage of you in the sense that maybe they were directing you to do stuff more that they were enjoying in the moment? Or do you feel like it was mostly pretty professional and it was with the vision of the entire project in mind?
So I would blame that particular instance on my agent because he had sent so many girls out to him before. And when I called him and complained about it, and he told me that, like, oh yeah, other girls have complained about him before. And I'm like, so why are you still sending girls out?
Right.
So I mean, his company was all about that. So, you know, my agent should have known, should have warned me before at the very least.
Another way that you and I are now connected is because people know my video about trying to masturbate with a manicure tool and then ended up the emergency room because I was allergic to latex and I didn't realize it. So anyway, I found out early that I would not be putting any other random objects in my vagina at age 17. So.
Yeah. You really ended up in the emergency room?
Yeah, my crotch had swollen shut, like, after I took it out. Oh, I looked at it with a mirror and everything had just like swollen shut because I was having an allergic reaction. So I had to go down to like the emergency clinic, and it was so embarrassing because I grew up in this tiny town where like everybody knew everybody. I'd been seeing this family doctor for a really long time. And he was this very, I don't know, like kind of like a Christian man. And I had to tell him what I did. And then he, you know, like put on his miner's headlight and like poked around. I mean, it was just, those are such like formative years of your sexuality and your self-esteem. And I just like mortified. It was so embarrassing. So now, like, the way that you have a phobia of what's it called again?
Speculum.
I just have to make sure that it's non-latex, but it's still, there's something about where I'm like, oh God, like if this were to give me a reaction, it would be very, very upsetting.
Can I just say, looking at you guys this whole time, I really feel like the dorky triplet right now. I'm looking at you guys. Both of you look gorgeous, and I'm like, what about ass play, you guys? I'm just getting a full glimpse of all of us right now. not insecure at all right now. I would love to know have there been you know, tough conversations with like friends and family, either when you were first getting into this, you know, this career, or when you left, or has anything like that happened?
My stepdad, that's a whole nother conversation. He's always been toxic, but when I was in the industry, he called me And he was like, I've been watching your videos and you're really good at your job.
Oh,
and I was like, God,
I'm okay. So sorry.
Thanks.
Holy shit.
I'm so sorry.
That is something you should
very
ever,
cringy
ever deal with.
Yeah, no, not in a million years.
Yeah, and then recently I saw his name pop back up on my OnlyFans, and I tried to address it with my mom because for a long time I didn't tell her because I didn't want to upset her. And she just made a whole bunch of excuses for him. And she had already like been making excuses for his drinking and all of that stuff. And so I was like, you know what? I need to cut you guys out of my life.
I'm so sorry.
Seriously.
It's fine.
Well, it sounds like you made the right decision for yourself, yeah. though. 100%.
Yeah.
And you started your own family.
Exactly.
I hope that you and I can meet at like a show sometime.
Yeah.
I think we have to take a picture together because my followers will shit their pants. They'd be so excited for us to like actually meet and have a photo. That would be very fun.
Of course. Yeah. I'll maybe try to get some highlights. Be more blonde again. Yes.
You get some highlights. I'll get some lowlights. We'll like meet in the middle.
I'll be there too. Same outfit, ladies.
It's in the background. Well, thank you so much for coming on here and just being an open book. I find your life so fascinating, and I think it's really cool that you do what you love for a living. And
absolutely. And then I would just ask, you know, if anybody listening to this show right now is considering getting into, you know, the adult entertainment industry in some fashion, do you have any like words of advice for them if they're, you know, considering that or what they should be considering?
Definitely do research. There's a lot to consider. There's still so much stigma around any kind of sex work. So just considering that in itself, even though it's something that I don't agree with, there still is. I didn't have to go through like job stigma or anything like that, but it's something that can happen. Also, if you have kids, and you're not with your partner or you're going through like custody battle, that can definitely get brought up, in a custody battle as something negative or whatever. I mean, I think those are like the two like most serious things I would say to just, I guess this goes with any kind of public job, just to consider like stalkers and hackers and stuff like that.
Absolutely.
Well, do you want to plug anything like where people can find you? You want to plug your OnlyFans, any of that?
Sure. Yeah. So all of my links are on my Instagram. I have my link tree there, and it's just instagram.com/yourgreenguru. My OnlyFans is onlyfans.com/mzjessie. And then I also do Twitch, and my Twitch channel is the same as my Instagram. It's just Your Green Guru.
Well, this was awesome. Thank you for talking with us.
Yeah.
All right, man. It was so cool to meet her finally, like over Zoom even, but it's weird. It's kind of like looking in a mirror, particularly like it's a little different now that her hair's darker, but back when she was doing porn, those pictures, if you Google image her and her hair was blonde, really, really look a lot alike.
You look very similar. I could have asked her 50 more questions. There's so many things that she was very, very open and honest and candid. And I super appreciate that. I think she had really great advice too.
Yeah.
For people, you know, considering this profession. And yeah, it was eye-opening. For sure. Yeah,
definitely.
To say the least. Yes.
Yes.
And we do have an iTunes review of the episode. This one is from Helpless Newborn. And it says, my current binge, I am wildly impressed with this podcast. I tried getting into podcasts when they became the next big thing for us to do with our time / on our journeys into work, etc., and just couldn't. I gave them a chance again over this past weekend. And thank goodness I did and found a podcast I adored. Yours. I am familiar with Taylor's comedy from Facebook videos, and she's what caught my eye as I looked for comedy podcasts. Irritated that I had never heard of Delaney or Kelsey before, Facebook needs to up its suggested videos game, or maybe I need to search pyramid schemes and boob jobs. So the algorithm figures it out.
Oh my God.
So many inside jokes in here.
Oh yeah. God, I cannot be associated with pyramid schemes. I can't handle it.
I love it. Overall, this new binge keeps me energized and excited when I do pretty much anything in my schedule. I listen in the car on my way to and from work and have it on my HomePods when I'm doing anything at home. Thank you so much, Helpless Newborn. Much appreciate. Yes. Much appreciate this lovely, lovely review. If anybody else wants to leave one, maybe you'll get read on the show. Head over to the iTunes app.
Yes,
or the
please.
Apple Podcasts, whatever you got.
Click on that fifth star.
Whatever
you can
you
also,
have on your phone.
This was a great episode to watch on our YouTube because then you can see the.
You can see how good I look.
You can see how good Delaney looks. That's really the number one reason you should go to see how good Delaney looks. And you can see the doppelganger effect with me and Jesse. And then also my cat, yeah. Mia, often is on my lap. And I just,
there you go.
I mean, who doesn't want to just see the cutest cat ever?
Precious. Maverick is not allowed to be up here usually when we're recording because he'll see somebody outside on at the window and he'll start barking his head off. So
Maverick can't help himself.
Maverick is, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Do you have anything segment-wise that you'd like to plug or anything like that?
I would like to plug my upcoming shows.
Right.
I am going to be at Helium in Philly. Philly Helpsters, come out to these shows March 25th through the 27th. I hope this episode comes out before then. If it's already come out, I hope that it was a great weekend of shows and I hope that you guys came out to them. I will be headlining Spokane Comedy Club April 8th through the 10th, Tacoma Comedy Club April 15th through the 17th. And then I know we've got a lot of DC helpsters. I'm going to be at the DC Comedy Loft in May. So go to kelseycook.com. All the ticket links are there, bunch of shows coming up, and all the clubs that I'm going to are doing things very, very safely. I feel comfortable going. It's being done very well. So check it out.
Awesome. And then I just want to plug Amanda Hill, who was a guest on our show talking about the 12 steps, where she really opened up about like the specific examples from her 12-step journey. She just launched a new podcast called Life Not Wasted, and it's all about navigating sobriety. And she does it with her friend Molly, and it's really great. So if you're curious about that, head on over and show them some helpster love.
Aww.
That's an exciting new project.
That's great. Yeah.
Yes.
All right, you guys. Well, we hope you enjoyed this episode and hope you have a great day. Bye.
See you soon. Bye. Thank you so much for listening to the Self Helpless Podcast. You can find our Patreon community, merch, and our individual work at selfhelplesspodcast.com. We'd be thrilled if you shared this episode with a friend, or feel free to post it on Instagram and tag @selfhelplesspodcast so we can repost you and say thank you.